Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the Feast of St. Polycarp, and I know some of you could say, pardon me, what did you say? This is a Feast of St. Polycarp, and I want to read something about him because based on what I said yesterday about really being committed to the Lord, really living out our discipleship, our call, St. Polycarp is one marvelous example. He was one of the apostolic fathers. Now, those are the fathers of the church who learned the faith directly from the apostles. So they're called the apostolic fathers because they learned the faith directly from the 12 apostles, one of the 12. In his youth, Polycarp heard the preaching of St. John. During his years as bishop in Smyrna, he wrote many pastoral letters, only one of which survives, a missive to the faithful at Philippi. According to St. Jerome, this letter was still being read in the churches of Asia almost 300 years after Polycarp's death. If it's true, brothers and sisters, it will endure. Of Polycarp, St. Irenaeus of Lyon attested at all times, he taught the things which he had learned from the apostles, which the church transmits, which alone are true. Polycarp suffered martyrdom around the year 155. I'm not saying that we should desire martyrdom, but I am saying, is our faith strong enough to endure that? Is our faith strong enough to endure that? How great is my faith? If I were to ask myself that same question, if I were to try and respond to that kind of question, it would be hard. It would be hard. I guarantee you I would have a struggle. But I do have to look at myself and I do have to say, am I really willing to follow him or not, no matter what it costs? I think that's the hardest thing for us, is the willingness to say, Lord, what are you asking of me? What do you want of me? How can I serve you? How can I follow you more closely today? Rather than, well, yeah, I went to confession once this year. Yeah, I get to Mass most Sundays. I'm Catholic. Or am I really living my faith? I know I keep repeating that phrase, living your faith. But do the priorities of my faith shape my daily life or not? They determine what I do. They help to determine what I read, what I watch on TV, how I conduct myself in relationships, my leisure time. All of it should reflect. Doesn't mean I have to be in church 24/7. I'm not saying that at all. But that I bring the values and the priorities of the gospel into every aspect of my life. Ask St. Polycarp to pray for you. He's a very good one. I've often asked him to pray. I know it sounds a little strange. St. Polycarp isn't exactly the first name on everybody's list, but Polycarp was a true disciple, a true disciple. Let's ask God to give us the same grace that was given to Polycarp. God of all creation, who were pleased to give the bishop, St. Polycarp, a place in the company of the martyrs, grant through his intercession that sharing with him in the chalice of Christ, we may rise through the Holy Spirit to eternal life. Whatever we have to drink, will you drink this cup with me? Whatever we have to drink, whatever we have to carry, may we do it in the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit, that God may be glorified. First reading is from the book of Sirach again, chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. Rely not on your wealth. Say not, I have the power. Rely not on your strength in following the desires of your heart. Say not, who can prevail against me? Or who will subdue me from my deeds? For God will surely exact the punishment. Say not, I have sinned, yet what has befallen me? In other words, yeah, I've sinned, but look, nothing's happened. So why should it matter? For the Most High bides his time. Of forgiveness, be not overconfident, adding sin upon sin. Say not, great is his mercy. My many sins he will forgive. Oh, how guilty we are of that. Great is his mercy. My many sins he will forgive. Yes, that's true, but not when we're complacent. Oh, it doesn't matter. God always has mercy. What matters is that we repent. Then flows the grace of true forgiveness, and it's forgotten. But I can't just give it token. I can't just give it lip service. I need to say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done, and I will do with your grace everything I can to avoid that sin in the future. Please forgive me. When it's a genuine petition, and we come to the sacrament of reconciliation, and it's a genuine petition, Lord, please forgive me. You are forgiven. But not the complacent, lackadaisical attitude that I hear so much. Oh, it doesn't matter. Yeah, that was a sin, but hey, God's merciful, isn't he? Isn't that what he tells us? He's merciful, so it doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. It can matter eternally. So what we need is the grace of genuineness, genuine repentance. That's what we need. The grace of genuine repentance, that I say from my heart, Lord, I am so sorry. Will you please forgive me? And then it's given. But we need to humble ourselves and say the truth. This reading goes on to say, for mercy and anger alike are with him. Upon the wicked alights his wrath. Delay not your conversion to the Lord. Put it not off from day to day. For sudden his wrath flames forth. At the time of vengeance you will be destroyed. Rely not upon deceitful wealth, for it will be no help on the day of wrath. When you stand before Almighty God and you're judged at the end of your life, what are you going to rely on? How much is in your bank account? How many influential friends you have? The honors and titles you may have received? Is that what you're going to depend on? That nothing of that will matter. What will matter is your heart. What will matter is your willingness to humble yourself and come before God when you fail, and we all fail, and we all fail again and again, and every time going, Lord, please, will you forgive me? Because we genuinely wound by our sin, we wound the one who suffered everything for us already. And we don't care. We develop an indifference. Oh, well, I didn't ask him to die for me. I heard somebody say that. I didn't ask him to die for me. If he wanted to die, that's his business. That's a cold, cold heart. Somebody loved you enough to die for you. May we live our days returning gratitude for what he has done for us. And part of the way in which we express the gratitude is by our priorities and our choices, the decisions we make. Rely not upon deceitful wealth, for it will be of no help on the day of wrath. But blessed, says someone, blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Bless the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night, reading the scripture day and night. He is like a tree planted near running water that yields its fruit in due season and whose leaves never fade. Whatever he does prospers. Are your roots down in the very heart and mind of Jesus Christ? Is that where your nourishment comes from, or does it come from the world? Think about that. Where do you draw your strength? Where do you draw your courage? Where do you draw your hope? Where do you draw the power to forgive? It has to come from the heart of Christ. Where are your roots? Are they in that heart? Then you will be fed and enabled to do what God asks of you. Believe me, there's no happier life than that. Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 41 to 50. Jesus said to his disciples, "Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward." So if people serve you because you're bringing them the gospel, and they do it out of a right heart, they'll know reward as well. "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if we corrupt any children. It would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Whoa, brothers and sisters, those are strong words, and Jesus means it. He means every word of what he says. And if we sin, if we make those kinds of mistakes, he will forgive. Don't presume it. He looks at your heart. He looks at the intention of your heart. If you come to him sincerely asking for forgiveness, he will forgive you. But number one, you need to recognize the seriousness of your actions. And you need to be willing to repent. It makes all the difference between life and death for all eternity whether you humble yourself and ask forgiveness. "Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt becomes insipid, with what will you restore its flavor? Keep salt in yourselves, and you will have peace with one another." He wants us to be salt and light. That's what he wants for us. To be salt and like to season our actions with the salt of God's kindness and love and mercy. Are we ready to do that? He's calling us to be light in the darkness. Are we willing to do that? And just as we follow him more closely, as we seek to follow him, if we thank him for his goodness to us daily, if we bring our needs and put them before him in trust, if we repent of our sin, then his light will shine out through us and it will change others. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing better. There's no better way to spend life than giving him to others, reaching out to others out of your kindness, out of your generosity, and God will abundantly bless you. Brothers and sisters, to obtain my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That is 1-800-282-4789. Faith More Precious Than Gold. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net, and then click on free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold.